There are over 120,000 mentally retarded children born every year in the United States. Many of these children will never actively participate in our society, but a few will, thanks to the continuing efforts being made by many interested parents to train their mentally retarded child. Today on Exploring Chicago, we're going to trace and discuss one such movement in our city, the Victor C. Newman School for Mentally Retarded Children. I'll be back in a moment to begin the discussion.
Four out of five boys in the Chicago area can't join scouting because there's not enough money for the Chicago Area Council of Boy Scouts to organize and service new units. Get behind one of the four out of five. Help a boy become a scout. Give to the Boy Scouts. Be a good scout and earn your Good Scout Merit Badge. And you'll be able to say, along with thousands of other good scouts in the Chicago area, I gave.
I gave. I gave.
I gave.
I gave.
I gave.
In 1948, a group of Chicago parents, all of whom had a retarded child, decided that something should be done about training their children. Each child had his individual need, which was not being met by the state of Illinois.
We felt that these needs could not be met in an institutionalized, custodial-type care. We also felt that their needs could better be solved by living within the community, taking part in the community, and attending school on a daycare basis.
The parents' initial plan called for the instruction of the trainable child within the community and on a daycare basis, rather than the previously recommended method of institutional care. The demonstration school, which finally opened in 1949 after months of careful planning, was successful in many ways. We asked a parent to comment.
Well, for about the first time, it brought national attention to the retarded child. It also brought the retarded child out of the shadows and into the light of public awareness. People, for the first time, were becoming aware of the need of the retarded child. It also, because it was on a daycare basis, it helped to break down the barriers that an institutionalized child would have to eventually break down when they were ready to come out of the institution. When it came to daycare, being that the child was at home at night, there was no barrier for him to break down. When he came home, his other brothers and sisters were there. He was able to adjust to the community in the evenings, whereas the institutionalized child had all of this to do when he came out of the institution. It also developed in them a degree of self-reliance and independence that up to this time was really impossible with the institutionalized child.
The school's success also made possible the passage of legislation which permitted school districts to set up classes for the retarded child. In 1958, the group of parents who were now operating as the Victor C. Newman School for Mentally Retarded Children realized that the children who comprised the original class were no longer children but were young adults who needed an outlet in which they could demonstrate what they had learned. A study of existing facilities disclosed the fact that meaningful programs for mentally retarded adults were practically non-existent, with no one caring for them. That was only one place the mentally retarded adult could go, and that was back where they had been 10 years before, sitting at home and being spectators of life rather than participants. The preservation of human dignity demanded that new opportunities be provided to help the retarded realize their maximum potential as individuals. This, the group believed, could best be done through the work of a work training program. So on September 14, 1959, the first Victor C. Newman Vocational Training Center for Mentally Retarded Adults opened its doors.
Well, the center will accept mentally retarded adults that are trainable and educable from 16 years of age on up. The center, primarily for its first year, was experimental in nature, and their first job, actually, or their first project, which was simple and practical, was the rolling of newspapers and the weighing and the tying of full and half sheets of newspaper print into bundles. And that, in turn, was sold to industrial firms for packing. The revenue from the sales of these newspapers was paid to the trainees on a weekly basis. The other projects that they were involved in was the sorting of salvaged nuts and bolts and washers. And this was used, the purpose of this, of course, was to develop hand coordination and article and size recognition. The simple assembly operations were introduced to exploit teamwork and simple, very simple assembly line procedures. And these operations followed as closely as possible the accepted industrial processes.
During the early days of the center, the group of parents decided that a qualified director and professionally trained staff should be sought to provide the center with the best possible instruction. The director chosen was Robert J. Cody, who, with a professional background in education, psychology, and sociology, instructed the trainees in the role that the competent worker must assume. Being dependable, following instructions, the importance of teamwork, and the value of the dollar were stressed over and over. Through contract arrangements with local industries, the advanced trainees were given jobs according to their abilities. Detailed and accurate daily production records were maintained to ensure that all orders filled met with the specifications of the contracting companies. This fine standardization of record-keeping procedures was then supplemented by a weekly meeting between Mr. Cody and his staff.
We found that the best way to learn more about our people's needs and what we can do about those needs was to develop staff meetings every week. We found that we didn't understand our people as thoroughly as we did after we began to have these meetings. We found that there were new things that we learned about each one. Some of our staff saw some things happen and saw other things that could have been done, while others did not. And so, in concert, we were able to put our ideas and our evaluations together, and out of this, learned more about what we could do to better our projects, to increase and overcome the limitations that our people had, increase their work potential, and to learn also about some little idiosyncrasies that our people might have, which were deterrents to their being good workers. In this way, with our efforts towards learning more about our people, we were able to do a better job.
Since its establishment 6 years ago, the Victor C. Newman Vocational Training Center has expanded. There are now 3 adult centers in the Chicagoland area, all of which are under the directorship of Mr. Cody. We asked him to comment on the center's goals.
The goals of our center are really varied. We work with the whole individual. We try to do as much as is needed, not only from the standpoint of a vocational placement or vocational guidance, vocational potential, but from the standpoint that the individual may not go into private industry out of the training of our centers. In other words, we try to work with his psychological needs, his social needs, his vocational needs. Any need, any thing that we can teach him, anything that we can do for him to make him a more well-rounded, better worker, a more happy person, a person who is able to adjust to other aspects of life other than just the vocational aspects, we try to instill in him.
One area that the center does not consider to be mandatory is that of recreation. On that subject, Mr. Cody said,
"Our recreation program is not as highly developed as we would like it to be. We feel that recreation, especially recreation on the outside of our training center, our vocational training center, is highly necessary to the fulfillment of the other needs that these people have. And we wish that we could provide a greater program for recreation. But on the whole, there is the program that we've talked about, but we do not permit recreation to be a part of our training program in the center. In other words, we divide the two. We feel that there is no play while our people are working, and there is no place for play from the standpoint of hilarious playing or horsing around or anything of the sort. And so consequently, we have found that we cannot mix the two. We cannot mix recreation and vocational training.
Speaking of trainee job possibilities, Mr. Cody said that although some of the retarded students will be able to be placed in private industry, most of them will have to remain in the sheltered work environment of the center.
This is true that many of our people, in fact most of them, will have to remain in a sheltered work environment rather than go on to outside job placement. It's true from the beginning, really, because we tend to take, and in fact, because of the need, we tend to take more of the trainable, so-called trainable retardates of the lower intelligent group than we do the educables. We find that many placement agencies, such as the Illinois State Employment and other organizations that do the job of placement in Chicago area here, can place these people with just a little bit of training, or even in some cases without any additional training. In some cases, they just teach these placement units, teach people to make out the forms for application for a job. They teach them how to approach the employer and teach them what's expected on the job, and therefore without additional training they are able to go on to a outside placement program. These trainable retardates, however, some of which can go out and do go out into the outside employment picture, need additional training, usually long-term training. Some of them, as has been said, will probably not go out into private employment but will remain in a sheltered work environment.
I'll be back with a closing word on the Victor C. Newman program after this message.
What does radio do for you? It brings you music, your favorite music, the biggest hit sounds of the day. And radio gives you the news, the fastest possible way.
You hear road conditions
and weather reports, all the latest from the world of sports. So hear it all, stay in the know, and carry a portable radio. Just take a lively companion wherever you go. Take a portable radio. Take a portable radio.
Since its founding over 15 years ago, the Victor C. Newman School for Mentally Retarded Children, and more recently its vocational training centers for adults, has attempted to promote the general welfare of mentally retarded persons wherever and whenever they could. Mr. Cody and his staff are always ready to give advice and aid to parents in the solution of their problems regarding their retarded child.
I would advise parents of retardates to give the retarded every opportunity to mature and develop any kind of use of his senses that is possible. I find that the retardates who come to our training program have not, in most cases, even been introduced to the use of this very simplest of tools. It would be a great boon to us, and certainly to the retardate, if his parents would give him at least the opportunity to use simple tools. Teach him how to handle a hammer in a, of course, supervised fashion. Teach him how to use a pair of pliers. Teach him how to do other things than just housework, because this would advance him towards the training program much quicker, and we could thereby not have to spend so much time in the fundamentals before we begin to do vocational guidance and training.
The Victor C. Newman program, organized by parents who cared, is interested in seeing that all trainable retarded youngsters are given the opportunity to actively participate in our society. Today on Exploring Chicago, we salute that program. This is Bruce Dumont.
You are listening. WCLA.